Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pup.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to season 7 of Bald and Blonde podcast, Mindset Evolution, where we give you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Cathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me, as always, is Daisy Papp, your host from America. Hi, Daisy. How you doing?
Hi, Cathy. Thank you. I'm doing fine. I almost fell asleep before we jumped on recording. It was a little long night in a row, like 2-3 nights in a row. And now I'm a little bit tired, but I'm here and I'm ready to go and I'm ready to roll because that is what we do. So what is up your sleeves or with no sleeves? I'm okay with that. So what are we going to record? Throw it out.
Well, I thought we'd kick off season 7 with a discussion about generalizations.
Okay.
Now, I know, and you say quite often that you rarely generalize, and I think that is a good thing. I think too many people flippantly generalize and really don't flippantly as in they just sort of say it without really thinking. Too many people flippantly use a generalization and kind of paint the whole category with the brush, so to speak, instead of being specific. And I have fallen into the trap too. I want to bring an awareness to it so we can be more deliberate in our language and our conversations, because generalizing doesn't really get you anywhere. In some instances, it can be useful, but I think in a lot of instances, it can be harmful because it's very rarely the truth that a whole group of people or whatever it is you're talking about are the same. Super rare. So generalizations don't have very many places, and I think it's overused. So there you go. That's my thoughts on it. Your turn.
Well, I appreciate that topic because I think it is a good idea to discuss generalization and to have a look at it. What is it? And is it really the case that we solely use it to describe and generalize a specific group of people or a specific event sort? But don't we also notice people that say, oh yeah, I do that all the time. Now let's define what does it mean all the time. To me, all the time means 24/7, a lifetime long. And that is just simply not realistic. Oh, I never... Let me define that a little bit and let me go.
I'm just going to say that sounds like edging into exaggeration. So maybe these two topics are quite linked.
There you go. There you go. I totally agree with you. Because now in arguments, for example, well, you never do this. You always do that. It's just simply not true. And when we speak, especially to loved ones, in untruthful ways, it causes friction and it causes more issues than there were in the first place. So when we start really noticing how we speak, and we, in German language, is an expression where they say, okay, touch your own nose. So it would go maybe something along the lines in the English-speaking countries or cultures that broom your entrance before you pick on the dirt in front of someone else's home's entrance. So first clean out your own little habits and then make them a habit, make them a standard of behavior, and then notice the changes. And then you will be actually rightfully pointing it out to others as an observation. Oh, I wonder if that is really true. When you tell me that I never, because that's not how I see it, what does never mean to you? You see, when I call you out for doing something that I do myself, I don't have any leverage on it. So better don't go there. So before I want to blame someone that, oh yeah, you always generalize. I already generalized with that statement, didn't I? Because you don't always. It's impossible to do something always besides breathing. Besides breathing, there's nothing else that we do always during our span of life. That's how I think. Maybe there are other things that we also do. Our hearts pump during our lifetime. That's always pumping when we're lucky.
Sure, but they're unconscious things our body does on our behalf. So we're not really including those things, are we? We're talking about us as conscious beings and the way we behave.
Yeah, I have the feeling that the majority is not that conscious and the common sense is not that common. That is why I think it is a good idea that we inspire people to start becoming more self-thinkers and to question things, question everything, because that will inspire your curiosity, even when someone is frequently generalizing. Now, when I now say, oh, dogs are just like that, that's also not true. Or whales. No, not all whales do that. And I can give you even a great example on that, because in some trades, financial industry, they have some people who move big finances or currencies back and forth. They also call them whales. So when I generalize, all whales do that, or all cats meow. Well, not true, because I met in my life, fact, a mute cat. She couldn't meow. She moved her mouth. That's all she did. And that was a meow that I just showed Kathy on the screen, but you didn't hear it because it was silent. So actually, what do we do when we are someone who's generalizing? We speak in a way that is not factual. And when we speak in ways that's not factual, there are consequences to it. If someone is generalizing frequently, if not most of the time, I personally have a problem trusting them. Why? Because they don't tell me the truth. I understand it is their linguistic habit. It also shows me that they are not aware of that linguistic habit and the effects they cause.
Yeah, it also shows me that there's a lack of care about what it is they're actually communicating. Because if they just use sweeping generalizations, then it seems to me that they're not very interested in the topic, actually. Or they wouldn't just generalize. They would say more specific things. And I feel like perhaps it's an Aussie thing, I don't know, but perhaps that the generalization is just to kind of, move on. Like, I'm not really interested. So I'll throw out a generalization like, oh, yeah, all Aussies do that. Or there's a whole traditional Kiwi Aussie thing over here, right? So all Kiwis are like that, which is clearly not true or not even possible to be true. But because it's just something that it comes from this, I don't know, this cultural thing, and then it's used as a generalization, it shows me they have no real interest in the real issues. That's my opinion.
Maybe that is possible. Maybe that's the case. Now, when I speak to a husband who just divorced wife number three, and he had the habit of marrying similar characters, caused specific issues and cost him, let's say, a little bit of finances and nerves and stress and maybe hair because he got bald over the tragedy of the third divorce. And he now says or thinks to himself, well, all women are like that. Now, he doesn't say it because he doesn't care. But he says it and it generalizes because he's so hurt that he cannot even imagine that someone female can be out there. And let's face it, we're almost, if the numbers are correct, almost 8 billion people on this planet. Let's say even women are a little more than men on this planet, but it's still just not factually possible and definitely not true that all women or all wives are a certain way. Are there specific tendencies? Oh, sure. Yes, there are biological tendencies. There are physical tendencies. There's brain architecture tendency, clearly. But nevertheless, we cannot truthfully generalize. But I know an exception.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with generalization when it comes to speaking about facts that are undeniably true, like gravity. I understand it's out of my control, but I have not traveled to any place around the globe where there was no gravity. I didn't float and levitate anywhere yet. Maybe I'm learning that too. I don't know what will be available in technology and knowledge and wisdom and techniques over the next years. Now, when people say, oh, what? you're not using any smart device, that is stupid. For example, people who are not using specific devices are stupid or are ignorant. That's also a generalization. So it comes very close to judgment. So when we are not aware how judgmental we are, we fall into the generalization more often than not. So I think.
Yeah, it seems to me, going back to your example about that guy on his third divorce, that when he was generalizing, oh, all women are the same, what I see is in his experience, the women he married are all the same,
yeah,
which is not then all women,
but
it's
that's
just
what
the
he
women
says.
He picked.
Yes, I agree with you.
So, no, but I have a point. My point is that perhaps the generalization or the generalizing that we do as individuals is because we narrow our opinions by our own experiences and don't look outside that.
Yeah. But nevertheless, actually, we make a fool out of ourselves, don't we? Because we speak things that are not true.
Well, yes. If we think that our experience is the only one that ever could be or ever could matter, that's ridiculous. That's very ignorant. So, yes.
I think it is a good idea that we step out of ignorance and start communicating more precisely. Why do I think that communication is so important? Well, it's a key element in the human experience. We humans do communicate. Even animals do. But we communicate and we have a different contemplation, a different understanding of the communication.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think if you look at even just the names of the topics on our episode list, it would go wham, 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 wham. Here are all the different things that can affect the way you communicate.
There you go. Now, generalization affects us human mostly through language, so I think. Now, for example, when I ask you, do you know how to cook?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know of people, when I ask them that simple question, you know how to cook? Oh, yeah, I cook everything. Really? Even your shoes, your remote controls, your laptop. So, you see, it is, to me, a mission to bring awareness to communicating more precisely so that we can increase understanding and being understood. Because many conflicts stem from miscommunication, poor communication, and generalization.
And assumptions.
Oh, yeah, and projection. We can go, the list goes from A to Z. Yes, that was not an exclusive list. I agree with you. Now, when we go back to the generalization, what can we do to become more sensitive to it? Well, observe it around you. Why? Because it's easier to see it in someone else and notice it outside than noticing it within ourselves. When we become more sensitive how other people are utilizing it and misusing and abusing the generalizations oftentimes, frequently in our environment, at the workplace, in the communities, in families, relationships, when we become more sensitive to it, that helps us then to notice when we do it. We can go the other way around, catch yourself when you do it, but when we are not sensitive yet, when we don't notice it, it's more challenging to catch ourselves when we do it. I catch myself oftentimes when I almost attempt doing it and then, oh, no, let me take this back. Delete all. That's something that I'm trying to utilize. So it goes back to the sensitivity. I can see in many countries, the Anglicism is growing where they're using English expressions in languages that have nothing to do with that language, with the American or with the English language. So British and American or Australian.
I'm not quite sure what you mean. Can you just explain that?
Yes. For example, in Germany, when they say something is really nice, they would say something is schön. Schön means nice. Now the youngsters say nice. They say a German sentence and then throw in an English word, forgetting that maybe if the grandparents are still alive, or maybe even one generation older than the grandparents, they may not even understand what they're talking about.
Oh, that's funny, because even in an English-speaking culture, I think that what you're speaking of, it could be just purely generational. I know when my son was a teenager And they used to like change words and change the meanings of words, and like sick for them meant good. And yeah, we're just like scratching our heads going, what's going on here?
Very confusing.
And yeah. And so I don't know that it's even two languages. It can happen within the same language as well, where a generation will just decide that it's cool to change the meaning of a word or add an additional meaning to a word. So please go on.
Or twist it.
Well, yes, but to me, twist infers something nefarious, and I don't think that was the case. I just think they all wanted to be cool.
Not in your son's case. Okay, the youth in Australia does it just like the youth does it in the US, and as they do it in Europe and they do it in Africa. I get it, or in many countries that I'm aware of. Now, I'm not stating that it's happening around the world. Why? Maybe it is, but I'm not aware of it. So now, a side effect of avoiding and slash or not even using generalizations, so minimalize using generalizations, increases trustworthiness. Why? Because then people know that I'm not exaggerating and that I speak articulate. I take my time. Sometimes it takes a moment for me because English is not my first language, and sometimes I'm searching for the word because I'd like to express myself more precisely instead of generalizing it. So I may distinguish when it comes to my absolute private, subjective, personal experience. For example, I never like oysters. That's a generalization. And it's true to me. I can use a generalization when I can be certain that it is true for me. Otherwise, it becomes arguable. When I use arguables in my communication, I'm feeding into arguments. Why would I do that?
And maybe explain what you mean by arguables for our audience.
For example, I say, all dogs are mean. That's an arguable statement. You can argue that.
Oh, I see. So you mean when you make a generalization that clearly isn't true, you're inviting somebody to disagree with it.
Don't I?
Online the other day, I saw someone say almost the same thing about a particular breed of dog, which I know not to be true because I used to live next door to one and it was the most gentle creature you could ever meet.
Yeah, there you go.
And so in my opinion, it's more about the owner than the breed. And that generalization about that breed annoyed me because, you know what? It showed their ignorance. That's what it says to me.
Maybe.
That they don't care enough about how they're communicating to be specific about what they're saying, but they'd rather just generalize, maybe because they're angry or upset.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is an excuse.
Well, there are many excuses utilized around the globe, and we can speak about excuses in another episode if we didn't so far, or if we didn't yet. I remember we did an episode on sorry. So when I generalize, make a statement, and generalize something that is not fact, I'm opening a door that is not very opportune when I'm a peaceful being and when I actually like to communicate in peaceful ways. Now, the opposite of arguables, what I'm referring to, for example, the exaggeration, all dogs are green, or all traffic lights are annoying. Well, I think that is also arguable, isn't it? You can argue that because some traffic lights, if not most of them, save lives or prevent accidents or make traffic smoother. Now, you see, I didn't say all, I said most, and then it's not arguable. Now, when I use generalization, I make a statement and generalize and say it in the first person singular. When I see you looking at me like that, then I always feel as if I'm punched in the stomach. That's not arguable. You see?
Well, it's your feeling. So
there you go. So when I use the generalizations like an utensil or like a tool or like something very sensitive, when I utilize it, it can be very good in expressing myself. So generalization itself is neither good nor bad, because that then also would be a generalization. Oh, generalizations are ugly. Generalizations always bring more problems. No, you see? So let's distinguish.
I do think there's a great danger, though, with them, in my opinion, because if we look at societies and communities and cultures, I feel that the danger is when you make a sweeping generalization about a certain culture and then teach that to the people around you, to your children. So I think it also needs to be said that generalizations can be dangerous, especially when we teach the people around us to do them as well. So it carries on through generations. There are many differences in different peoples throughout the world. And when we make a generalization about a group of people that are very different to us, I feel like that can cause stigmas, it can cause racism, it can cause huge divides within the human family. Now, we have specifically designed this podcast to speak to all of you, regardless of your culture, your religion, your political views, your gender, your geographical location. We don't think any of those things matter in our discussions because we are talking to you as human beings. So when I say this, it is to bring your awareness to this issue that although there are differences between us, at the root of it, we are all one human family. And it upsets me quite a lot when I hear people generalize about one of these other groups of people in a way that paints them with a certain sweeping characteristic statement. They're all going to be put in the same bucket because it simply is never going to be true that although a million people may follow one teachings, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to interpret those teachings the same way or have their behavior as a result the same way. And so we can't generalize about that because of that. We need to be aware that people are individuals. And even if 10 million people believe in, say, one thing, it doesn't mean that they're all going to act the same. And so we can't apply these generalizations to giant sets of people around the world. And I think that is happening. And I think that can be an intergenerational issue. It's sort of like negative conditioning of your children and their children by passing down these mistruths.
Nothing new about it. It's going on since millennia.
Exactly. And it's time it stopped, which is why I'm saying now, as if that episode could possibly stop that. But it might start the ball rolling. It might start enough people thinking to change it.
Well, I do believe that our listeners are very well aware that we speak to all humans. And that is the reason why we have listeners in, to date, 86 countries, because it is cross-cultural. It is cross-geographic. So we cross the borders. It is for all humans. And because we are non-judgmental in our episodes, I live my life to a high standard of non-judgmental living and leading my life and leading by example and living by example. The key is that it starts with an inventory. There are geographics where they were told that a specific group of people came and invaded their country. Is it fact? Yes, based on the history books. Can we change it? No. Did this generation do it to you? No. Then therefore, we cannot generalize it. Let's say you have black sheep and you have white sheep. My mom had sheep, over 872 sheep, I think, or 894. I forgot the number. And she had white sheep and she had black sheep. They weren't really black. They were brown, dark brown. And now let's say these two colored sheep, one white, one black, they would now start angry meh against one another, their language. And let's say now they have little lambs and the next generation and the next generation. And now the white lambs or the brown lambs say, oh yeah, the white lambs are really bad. And the brown lambs say, oh no, the white ones are really bad. Well, yes, I understand. That is what happened back then there. Is it really happening right here, right now? And if so, is it maybe that the white lambs learn from the white mother sheep and daddy sheep that this is how we do it, we always did it, and this is how it's going to stay? And the same in the brown sheep family. So when we notice, is there generational trauma? Absolutely, yes. We all have it. Science shows to date 14 generations. I have the feeling that it's way, way more back when we go back in the line of our ancestors. So when I'm angry, let's say because your grandfather stole the apples from my grandfather's tree. And now I don't talk to you because your grandfather stole the apples from my grandfather's tree. But how does that make sense? It's not your fault. You didn't do it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, you didn't even inspire your grandfather. Hey, steal those apples from Daisy's grandfather's tree so that they don't have any. I think it is really time to reset these old trauma and to reset these old anguish, angry, anxious feelings and the resentments towards one another and the regrets. Did you do it? Ask for forgiveness. If you didn't do it, it's not your fault. Do I know what my, let's say, great parents did? I have no idea how they lived. I have no records of it. I have a family tree, but that's all. Doesn't tell me if they were kind people or if they were unkind people. Were they helpful people or were they not helpful people? Now, I cannot say, oh, all my ancestors were weirdos. How do I know? Maybe I had one great uncle who was said that he was a weirdo. Now, what did it mean to describe someone as a weirdo back then? Maybe it was an artistic expression of somebody who had three talents instead of only two. How do I know? So it is time for all of us to rethink. Let's have a look of the beliefs and the generalizational habits that we have in our linguistic expressions and also in our thinking. How often is it, oh, I'm so stupid? Well, is it really true? Now, I'm stupid because I forgot to switch off the light in the other room? That makes me stupid? Oh, I always forget the light. Oh, so I always forget my bag, or I always leave my passport in the hotel and then I have to go. Is that really true? Always? Your lifetime long? Maybe when you were born, you didn't even have a passport yet. So you see, it's a self-judgment and it is a judgment outwardly. And when we become more sensitive, what we do and how we speak, it may help the majority of humans to also shift the language that they think. Generalization can be as harmless as when I speak about, yeah, my neighbor's dogs always bark, which is also not true. But it doesn't really harm anyone, doesn't affect my relationship with them, neither their relationship with me, neither the dogs nor the owners. But when it comes to global issues, when it comes to intercontinental aspects, I think it is important that we become more sensitive about our language. And again, it's communication. My facial expressions are communication. My body language is an expression. It's communication.
Yes, I mean, even the tone of your voice can change entirely what you mean.
Absolutely. I can say, really, or I can say, really.
It's really one of the reasons why text messaging is just such a
set up for miscommunication and misunderstandings.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because it doesn't have any of those other elements that are so helpful in trying to understand a person. Because if you type really in a text message, you have no tone, you have no body language, you have no real context of what they mean by really, because really can mean so many things. The most you could do is maybe put a exclamation or a question mark with the word really, and that gives it a tiny bit more context as to what the person means. But yes, all these other pieces of our communication are missing.
Aha. Now, you see, that is also a generalization. This was well done. All the other aspects or ingredients of communication are missing, and it is helpful to generalize when it's fact. Now, I wouldn't say that all messaging and all text messaging and emailing leads to miscommunication and misunderstandings. I'm not saying that. Because, for example, we suppose to meet or you pick me up at the airport and I'm already landed and now we're taxiing and for some reason the door of the plane doesn't open and we are just not getting to the gate quickly enough. I can text you, well, I think it takes longer than anticipated. Or we're meeting up at a restaurant for a meeting and I say, stuck in traffic. I do my best. So there are short messages that are very good to communicate over text messages. I don't need to call you every time. Generalization, I say. But when we start utilizing the gifts and the utensils that we have wisely, we can reach farther and get farther faster and get better results. Goes back to sensitivity, when we become more sensitive to these expressions or the lack of.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I also think that can be said for having patience with the other person communicating.
Ask questions.
Yeah, I know that I struggled to communicate because of how it was received with some of the people I was interacting with. And my mind made me fearful that everybody would react like that. Now, that wasn't the truth, but that was how I felt at the time. Mm-hmm. And so what I learned was, when people were more sensitive to that about me and were more patient, it was much easier for me then to practice communicating and learn to do it better. And so I think that's a good attribute for people to keep in mind, that not everybody is a great communicator. Some people are still learning how to do it. And we need to be patient and understanding with each other. Mm. And these are a couple of the ingredients that I feel are going to make a better future. Mm. And I certainly think that being aware of when we generalize and perhaps using it less is also one of the ingredients that is going to make a better future.
Very much so.
Which, of course, is why I picked it as an episode, because all of these topics, part of what we wish for mankind, that is why we talk about them. We are doing this podcast to help everyone out there be the best versions of themselves, so we can create a better future, we can create stronger communities, and our children and their children can thrive. Mm-hmm. And that's my vision for the future of mankind. I want my grandchildren, who's just so adorable, by the way, he's nearly 5 months old now.
Time flies.
Yeah. And his children to have a wonderful world to live in, and not this world that we have right now that is chaotic and full of war and anger and resentment and divide. This I want to change.
Requires much healing.
Yes, it does.
And it requires much self-improvement. When every one of us does their part in improving themselves, then we will meet other people who did the same. That will be very helpful.
So that's it from us, our first episode for season 7. Please keep sharing our episodes with everybody you meet. The more people know about Bald and Blonde and listen in, the more good we can do and the more inspiration can be spread. Please also go to baldandblonde.live and consider helping us with the price of a cup of coffee or the price of a Ferrari. Up to you guys. Anything is gratefully received. It helps us stay on air, produce these episodes, and not put ads in our show. So we'll be seeing you soon. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.